The church spends too much time reiterating and reiterating and reiterating your responsibilities when there should come a time where the Bible says you don't drink milk anymore, but you eat meat. There's a time that we're supposed to grow up and act grown up. And stop shirking our responsibilities that becoming a Christian has afforded us. So this is part two. If you want part one, you can go back on the internet or the Facebook page or the website, or you can get a CD from the back and get caught up. But this is part two of being responsible. Everybody knows the story of David and Goliath pretty much. I say everybody, and I know that everybody don't know the story, but David was a shepherd boy who went against the most fiercest rival that you could come against, Goliath. Goliath had Israel under siege. Goliath was intimidating and calling out Israel, and there was no one brave enough of all of Israel to come against Goliath. And this little shepherd boy says, he's messing with God. I'll get him. Right? That's not the part of the story. You see, the story of David and Goliath has so many spiritual lessons, but I want to look at the lesson of the five smooth stones that David got in order to fight Goliath. That leaves a lot of questions. Let's look at the scripture. 1 Samuel 17:40 says, then he took his staff in his hand and he chose five smooth stones from the stream, put them in a pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in hand, he approached the Philistine Goliath. Now that should start raising some questions because we all know that he slew Goliath with the very first stone, yes? Why five and not one? Did David not have total faith? Did David think that God would not deliver Goliath? You see, David talked great confidence when he told Saul, King Saul, how, hey, I killed the lion and I killed the bear when they came after my sheep. I ain't worried about this Goliath. So did he doubt that a single stone would kill the giant? David had declared Goliath to be an enemy of God. Why did David choose five stones? David chose five stones because not only was there Goliath, but there were four other giants. Let's look at the scripture. Now, this is after that battle. Once again, there was a battle between the Philistines and Israel. David went down with his men to fight against the Philistines, and he became exhausted. And Ishbi-benob, one of the descendants of Rapha, whose bronze spearhead weighed 300 shekels, that's a lot, I don't know how much that is, that's a lot, and who was armed with a new sword, said he would kill David. The second giant is coming after David. But Abishai, son of Zeruiah, and you know I'm not pronouncing these right, right? Came to David's rescue. He struck the Philistine down and killed him. Then David's men swore to him, saying, never again will you go out with us to battle. See, there are things in this church y'all supposed to be doing and not me. You see, you can't go out with us in battle anymore, David, because you're valuable. you're too valuable to be risking your life on the battlefield anymore. You need to be taking care of business. You see, what you need me to do is be in my office. That's where you need me. Because it's in my office that I open up the Word of God and I study the different translations and I ask God what He wants me to preach about and I listen for His instructions and I receive revelation that I can come and get on this stage and then feed it back to you. And if I don't have time to do that because you have me doing a menial chore around here, then it's costing you, not me. So he says, never again are you going to go out with us into battle so that the lamp of Israel will not be extinguished. We're not risking you anymore. We need you to do what you do. We'll do what we do. Continue on. In the course of time, there was another battle with the Philistines at Gob. At that time, Sibekai the Hushathite killed Saph, one of the descendants of Rapha. In another battle with the Philistines at Gob, Elhanan, son of Jair, the Bethlehemite, killed the brother of Goliath of Gittite, who had a spear with a shaft like a weaver's rod. See, only one of the other four giants was actually Goliath's brother. There's three giants. There's one more. And still another battle, which took place at Gath, there was a huge man with six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot, 24 in all. He also was descended from Rapha. When he taunted Israel, Jonathan, son of Shimei, David's brother, killed him. These four were descendants of Rapha in Gath, and they fell at the hands of David and his men. You see, those four were with Goliath. Those four were hanging around Goliath when David came to slay him. So David said, you know what? These brothers might get frisky. See, I'm going to go after their leader, and these guys might have a plan. They might get brave. So David said, I need five stones. He knew there was a possibility that they may rise up when Goliath fell down. We also see that the stones were smooth. David knew he could aim better with a smooth stone. David did not foolishly say, I will use any old jagged stone because God is going to do it anyway. This is important to understand, because we're living in a time where Christians are just thinking God's going to take care of it and I don't have to do anything. It does not work that way. God does not go into action until you go into action. Just like some people think there's nothing they need to do to protect themselves from this virus. Highlands County just hit 4,100 cases. And I haven't done the math yet, but that should come out about one out of every 25 people. Highlands County is the hottest spot in all of Florida. Reports out of Washington, reports from the Center of Disease. They think God's going to protect me. Trusting in God will never and does not remove human responsibility. David did the responsible thing by preparing for contingencies. I try to do the responsible thing because I'm preparing for the contingency that somebody walks through these doors with the virus, and maybe somebody has walked through these doors with the virus. And I was protected. When you become responsible, that with divine providence is the perfect combination. Okay? Divine means from God, and providence is the protective care of God with a nature of spiritual power. I want to invoke the spiritual power of God, which comes when I'm responsible. What does the Bible say about that? Ephesians 6:13 says this, for this reason. Okay? I don't know what your reason is, but you should have a reason right now. So that I can protect my husband, so that I can protect my children, so I can protect my wife, so I can protect, I have reason, so I can work, so I can make a living. For this reason, take up the whole armor of God. What is the whole armor of God? Everything that God has given you to use. I'm going to do a sermon one day called Toolbox, which we're going to unpack the tools that God has given us to fight in the spiritual realm. Remind me, Pastor Linda. Take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to take a stand whenever evil comes. How many know that the virus out there is evil? It is the satanic. It is demonic. I don't care what you want to call it. It opposes God. And when you have done everything, wait a minute. You mean I have to do something first? I have to have responsibility? I have to protect myself? I have to go into prayer? When you've done everything, you could, when I've done everything that I could. Could have I been a little more careful? Yeah, probably. Because when I've done everything I can, the Bible says you will be able to stand firm. It never said, don't worry, I'm God. You ain't got to do nothing. I'm going to take care of everything, and I will protect you. You see, the protective hand of God does not follow you around. I am so sorry to tell you the truth, but the protective hand of God does not and will not follow you around. You better find it and stay under it. You follow the protective hand of God around. It's not going to follow you around. God is holding us accountable to be responsible. Romans 14:12 says this, so then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Think about that. Pastor Donna was reminding me in the office this morning when she asked me a question and I answered her in a particular way. And she had to find out why, and my answer was, because I have a meeting coming with God, that's why. See, I can't get out of that meeting. It said each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. See, I can't go up there and say, but Marisol did it. Petey did it. God's not going to hear that. God's going to say, I ain't talking about Marisol. I ain't talking about Pete. I'm talking about you right now. You're going to give account of yourself. And everywhere where I have been irresponsible, and God knows I have been irresponsible in my life just like you have. Careless words spoken over somebody that weren't true. Careless words spoken over somebody that were true. Just because it's true don't give you the responsibility to say it. Go on. Matthew 12, 36 and 37 says, "But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken." What is an empty word? An empty word is a word that produces no good fruit. What fruit am I producing when I gossip and talk bad about somebody? It's an empty word. God said that's an empty word. It has no weight. It has no meaning. It has no value. "For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." What is an empty word? A swear word that does not bring glory to God is an empty word. God's going to let you know how many times you said the word. Oh, yeah. You're going to say, "Bob, that'd be 429 times. Now, I don't think he said it 429 times. Probably a lot more than that. Petey and I are in the construction business.
As a trucker, it happens a lot.
All right, next one. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." You're going to be rewarded for the good things, not rewarded for the bad things. Tell me this. Why are we more responsible at work than we are with the things of God? See, if you have a job or had a job, you learned responsibility. PD knows that he's responsible when we're working together to be somewhere at a specific time. Yes? And what happens if that doesn't happen? It doesn't go well. You don't go to work whenever you feel like it. You go to work when you're supposed to be there. Marisol, do you go to work on time? Why? Because you want your job. Show up on Thursday instead of Wednesday when you were scheduled. See what happens to you. He's new in the workforce. Some of us have to learn the hard way. They don't accept that. We might get fired. We never stop and count or see what happens when we shirk our God responsibility. And we may never know on this side of eternity what blessings we threw away. I'm responsible with this church. I get a lot of heat for that. I'm responsible with the finances, because I have a meeting coming. Why does God entrust us with more stuff? Why did we just get 10 more acres with 12,000 square foot of buildings on it? Because he knows I'll be responsible to do what he wants me to do with it. All right, where did we leave off last week? Let's start there. Galatians 5:1. It is for It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. What is he saying here? He's saying that, listen, now that I have saved you, now that I have given you a new lease on life, now that I've given you an opportunity to join me in heaven, now that I've done all of this stuff, you are now going to be held responsible to not go back and do the same crap you were doing before you got saved. Don't go back into the same mud hole that I took you out of. There's things you have to give up that you're responsible to give up. I always tell you I'm so grateful to be born in the day of Jesus, because the wrath of God was nasty before Jesus. And God didn't play around. He turned you into a pile of salt, have a bear eat you. I mean, it wasn't good. Destroy you, your family, destroy your city, destroy your country. He didn't care. Then Jesus came and said, Dad, he's with me. I'm so grateful for that. Because we get drawn back into things that we know better. That's why it doesn't feel right anymore. Because you know better. And listen to me carefully. Just because I might not know better doesn't mean that Ron knows better. You see, I'm working out my salvation with fear and trembling. I'm not working out Ron's. He's working out his. And God convicts us, and God might want to convict me of that thing that I'm doing 3 years from now, but right now he's working on something that's more important, and you need to leave it alone. Next scripture. Matthew. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. What's he saying? Very simply, I'm the new sheriff. I'm the new one in charge. I remember when I had to take over the security department at my former church. We had 1,000 members. The security force was incredible. We had FBI agents. We had U.S. Marshals. We had detectives. We had police officers. We had military. I mean, they were highly trained. And I didn't want to be in charge of them, but they put me in charge of them. And I remember I went to them to let them know they weren't going to do what they were about to do. They decided they were getting tasers. And I went and de-armed them, and I said, you will not have a taser at this church. Because we're not tasering anybody. We're not going to be on the front line of the paper saying that somebody got tasered in church. I said, it's not going to happen. If I catch you bringing a taser into this church, I'm sending you out permanently. But when I walked up to them, they said, oh, you've come to help us. And I said, oh, no. No, no, no. I'm not coming to help you. I came to take over. I am now in charge of security in this church. You will answer to me. That's what Jesus just did. He says, hey, all authority's been given to me. Not only here, but in heaven and here. So, now I'm holding you responsible to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. How are you going to teach somebody else to obey the commandments of God when you yourself won't obey them? You see, you don't teach from your mouth, you teach from your actions. Petey knows I'm an honorable man. Because I'm sure if you took him aside privately and asked him, does he have trouble getting paid? No, he knows when he does a job for me and he comes for the check, I write the check. Most of the times I call him to get the check. I chase him down to give him money. Is that true or not true? Now, that didn't come. He didn't think I'm an honorable man because of the words that come out of my mouth, but by the action and deed that I have done over the many, many, many years. You've worked for contractors before that you don't trust? Have you ever not trusted me? No. You see, you can't talk the talk until you walk the walk. Because you talk with your walk. And everybody uses this last sentence. Oh my. Out of context, out of place. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. God never leaves me. Yes, he does. Sure he does. He left Jesus. Why, God, have you forsaken me? Why have you left me? For the first time in Jesus' life, hanging on that cross, he felt a separation, a spiritual separation from God that he had never, ever felt before. For 3 years, he went around saying, hey, I only do what my dad tells me to do. Hey, I only know what my father tells me. I don't know nothing outside of, I can't do anything outside of my father. And all of a sudden, he's hanging on the cross and he feels that God has left him. Why? Because he went to take on the sins of the world. He went to take on your sins. God's not going to be a part. Heaven's a holy place. God is a holy God and he's not getting mixed up with your sin. So if you decide to hit the club, see how wasted you could get? God's waiting outside the door. The Holy Spirit's not following you in there. The Holy Spirit's not drinking with you. The Holy Spirit lives inside of me. He's not going to allow me to pollute him. But when I'm responsible, I will not feel the separation. And I don't know if you've ever felt the separation from God, but it's a lonely, desolate place. Mark 16, 9 through 20. When Jesus rose, early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. This is the first time he appeared after the crucifixion. She went and she told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. And when they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterward, Jesus appears in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported it to the rest, but they didn't believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. You see, God's holding you responsible for your faith and for your belief. You know, if I came to you before I got the youth center and I said, hey, check this out. And I didn't, because I knew better. Nobody knew I was in talks for that place for a year. Nobody. Maybe longer. In meetings, in conversations. Check this out, Donna. I'm about to get $1 million property, and they're going to hand it to me. First thought, yeah, right. First thought, okay, And those that meditated on that thought would say, that boy's lost his mind. He's crazy. That ain't never going to happen. But see, I believed. And I had faith that God has called me to make a youth center. I was talking about it 8 years ago. I was talking about it 7 years ago. I was talking about it 6 years ago. I ain't never stopped talking about it. And I had faith and believed that somehow God was going to do it. And in the meanwhile, I stayed responsible. In the meanwhile, I stayed where I was supposed to be. Go on. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes. Now, watch out for this next sentence, because I got a lot of fools who think they don't need to be baptized. Oh, yeah. If you ain't been baptized, I hope this hurts. Whoever believes and... In other words, there's got to be something added to the belief. Now, I know you've been taught that all you got to do is believe. But now here's God saying, hey, wait a minute. Jesus is saying, wait a minute. You got to believe and you got to add something to that. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. My question to you, whether you believe it or not, why would you risk it? It may not be comfortable, ask Ann. She come out of the water yelling at me. Never touched her. Never laid a finger on her. Never touched her. But the Holy Spirit baptized her. The Holy Spirit put her right on her back in the water. And she didn't know it was coming. That's why she was mad. She come out of the water talking about, I don't like water. But you're going to heaven. I'm talking to her, and I raised my hand. She was done. She was gone, right in the water. At least it wasn't like the other lady, Ann, that I raised my hand, she went in the water, and then she drifted off to the deep end. I had three guys in the pool. They're just looking at each other like, what just happened? And I'm screaming, get her! Get her! Go get her before she dies. That's the closest one I ever lost. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. Now, here's your responsibility, you see. And these signs will accompany those who believe. Here's your responsibility. You are responsible to demonstrate these signs. Is there any of us that can demonstrate all of these signs at all times? No, I don't think so. I know I have failed at time, but it doesn't give me an excuse, because I understand that I'm to be responsible, and I'm understanding that I have to show you these signs because they come with the believer. In my name, they will drive out demons. You see, we talk about the all-powerful name of Jesus, but it's not the name by itself. Remember the sons of Sceva, the high priest. They went to drive out demons in Jesus' name and got whooped up by the demons so badly they came back naked and beat. And they were using the name of Jesus, and it was powerless. You see, they had a problem. They didn't believe. To an unbeliever, the name of Jesus has no power. In my name, they'll drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. Now, that doesn't mean a snake. Leave the snakes alone. If you're out on the property and you run into a coral snake, leave it alone. Because if he bites you, you're bitten. I got to take you to the hospital. If I like you. Okay. If you've been giving me a hard time, there's no telling what I'll do. Like, oh, that don't look good for you right there, buddy. Oh, man, let me pray for you. Okay. No, you better hope I pray and am responsible and take you to the hospital for some anti-venom. But there are a lot of things that are going to come against you in your life. A lot of things will come against you in your life that you can have dominion over. Some of us are facing some circumstances right now that are daunting, and they're difficult. But it's not going to hurt you, and you can handle it. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. I wish I had kept a log of every sick person that I watch God heal through my hands. Are you praying for somebody to get well if they're sick? Do you lay hands on them? Because you're responsible to do that. Too many think that's for the pastor, that's for the preacher, that's for the leaders of the church. I got some bad news for you, or some good news, depending on how you want to take it. You're all leaders in God's church. You all have this responsibility. You say, well, I prayed for somebody and they didn't get well, so I never prayed for anybody again. What's that got to do with you? Your responsibility is to do what God said to do. It's God's responsibility for the result. If I pray for you and you don't get well, I have no idea what happened. Maybe you were refusing the healing. Maybe you didn't believe. I've dealt with people like that before. There's people God says don't pray for. Don't pray for them. I'm not listening. Went to a guy's house. Some of you know the story. I told my team, I said, we're going to go pray for this guy, but our prayers will not be heard tonight. Tell somebody their prayer is not going to be heard. Watch how mad they get at you. They said, Pastor, have you lost your mind? Of course our prayers are going to be heard. Okay, let's go. They come out of that meeting and said, our prayers were not heard tonight. No, they weren't. I told you before we went. Why? Found out later why. Guy didn't want us there. He agreed finally so his mother would leave him alone. But he didn't want us there. He did not believe in God. He did not want to be prayed for. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. When are we going to understand that Jesus hasn't been here in 2,000 years? The Holy Spirit is here. God and Jesus are in heaven. He's not here to do what he did. When he was here, go read his story. He dealt with you. He went to another city and dealt with you. And then he went somewhere else and he dealt with you. He went to heaven so he could send the Holy Spirit so all of us could be dealt with at the same time. Thank God he's not here. What are the chances I'd ever see him in my life if he was here? Thank God he went to heaven and sent us the comforter, the guider, the Holy Spirit. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. I am so out of time and so not finished. All right, part three next week. Stay tuned. Stay tuned. Father, we are grateful for your word. Wanting to be more responsible, God. The statistic says 100% believe they'll go to heaven. Your word does not confirm that at all. So we invoke divine providence, accompanied with our responsibility, so that we will have the perfect combination to overcome everything we need to overcome in this world. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, and we thank you for your amazing grace that covers us when we've failed. We know that the grace is there, and we know that we can get forgiveness, God. But responsible people don't like to make the same mistakes over and over again. We want to rise above our mistakes and become apostolic. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.